We praise you for the joy of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day tomorrow as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We thank you for Mary and Joseph, for a couple willing to sacrifice a great deal to fulfill your call upon their lives. Thank you that Mary was willing to carry Jesus and to bring him into this world. Father, the mystery of all of this, it's beyond what we can fathom. You alone are a mystery to us, but we know who you are, and we love you, and we praise and adore you, and are here tonight to honor you. And Father, when we think of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus coming, becoming a man, becoming one of us, that he could die in our place and rise again to give us new life, the love and the compassion, the mercy, the humility, the willingness to come down and be a servant to save us, again, is something that we cannot fathom. But we praise you for it. We love you for it. You did it. It is truth. And because of that, all is well. And we await the joyous return of our Savior. Father, we want to commit this hour to you and pray that as we sing and worship you and hear your word proclaimed and just rejoice in what happened that night, that you would be pleased and honored and glorified. We would be edified as a body, drawn closer together, and better equipped to serve our risen Savior, the one who came that night into this world. We commit this hour to you and give you thanks and praise for the privilege to be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 1, looking at the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew 1:18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Then from Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight. The hymn, then we'll sing it afterwards. It tells how it came about. It's a scripture verse. First of all, it says there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. No other carol casts such a spell. The sweet, plaintive strains of the first Noel, quietly sung on a snow-clad Christmas Eve, bring tears to the eyes and gentle peace to the heart. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. If only we knew who wrote it. It first appeared anonymously in Some Ancient Christmas Carols. That's the name of the book. Some Ancient Christmas Carols, published by Davis Gilbert in 1823. And the traditional music evidently came from an unknown source in the west of England. The poetry itself is plain. If we were to recite this rather lengthy piece, we'd get only a garbled sense of the Christmas story. There's no indication in Scripture, for example, that the shepherds saw the Magi's star. And the final verse of the original carol seems anticlimactic. But when combined with its wistful music, the words glow and our hearts are strangely warmed. The word Noel seems to be a French word with a Latin roots, Natalis, meaning a birthday. Modern hymns omit several of the verses. And it says here is the complete version. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east, beyond them far. And to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far. To seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. This star drew nigh to the northwest, or Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay, right over the place where Jesus lay. Then they did know, assuredly, within that house, the king did lie. One entered in then for to see, and found the babe in poverty. Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently upon bended knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. If we in our time do well, we shall be free from death and hell. For God hath prepared for us all a resting place in general. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Well, I can see why they might have left out part of that. Some of it I'm not quite sure about the theology, but it is a beautiful hymn, and we will sing it. Our Father, we thank you so much that we can come together on this Christmas Eve. We do rejoice in all that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, to know that you came long ago, but you're still with us, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. You've promised. And we just thank you and praise you for that. We're looking forward to the day when we'll be in your presence completely. And we just ask you to guide and help us and lead us by your Holy Spirit that we might do your will in all things. We do pray for those who are going through difficult times right now. Our Father, we know that there's many that are affected in one way or another by the coronavirus. And we just pray that you'll undertake for them. We think of those who are directly afflicted with this condition, and we pray for them that you might undertake for them. And we pray for those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. We think of Troy, and we do pray for them. We pray for others too that are still shut in and restricted because of the virus. And we just pray your holy will be done in all these cases. We thank you so much for the freedom that we have, our Father, in this country, to be able to meet together and to worship you. And we just pray your blessings upon each one, that we might truly enjoy this time of fellowship together. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified through it all. We pray in his name. Amen. But this year, it seems a little different because of all that's been going on, all of the disasters, I guess you would say, right? This year, thinking back through the year and all that it's done, and it kind of puts a damper on things. I don't know if you feel like I do about it or not, but it just seems like this kind of a pall or whatever you want to call it, you know, kind of something hanging over our heads that people are more sad than usual. And it's just we have to come get above that, don't we? And as we've been singing and praying and looking to the Lord and realizing who he is, and he's still ruling and reigning, and we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be sad. We need to come out from under that and celebrate Christmas. That's what it's all about. But you know, thinking about that, I was, I've been reading this book. I read the book, actually. It's entitled Before Christmas. The subtitle is The Story of Jesus from the Beginning of Time to the Manger by Bill Crowder. It's very interesting. It tells about how he didn't begin in Bethlehem. Now, the human person, Jesus, began at that time, but the Almighty Son of the Living God had always been, right? Since before anything else ever was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? He always has been, and he is the creator of all things. He is the one who has sustained our universe and all that is there, Jesus, our blessed Savior. And we look to him in all these things. Bill Crowder emphasizes here the fact that Jesus is eternal, that he is the creator, and he is the one who keeps everything together, moving it in the right direction. He's the eternal God who became one of us. That's quite a thought, isn't it? Think of that. The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself taking on human form. What a a strange thing that is. I wanted to read from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse 6. Let's see, it's right here. Here we are. 2:6. Speaking about Jesus, it says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So, Jesus came to save us from our sins. We know that, right? But it's always good to be thinking about that, to realize why he came. You know, he didn't just come to make a beautiful scene of the manger and all of the rest. That's only the beginning. He came to take away our sins and to give us eternal life through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So that's why we can rejoice. No matter what the circumstances are, we can worship the Lord Jesus and bring our praises to him because of who he is. You know, the coming of Christ was the most important event to ever take place. We've seen how God prepared everything for this great event. Recently, we were talking about the prophecies from the book of Isaiah about the coming of the great king who would be born of a virgin and provide salvation for all those who would believe in him. One of the chief angels, Gabriel, was sent from heaven to announce his coming. You know, Gabriel also revealed to Daniel over in the Old Testament God's plan for this Messiah, this Christ, over in Daniel chapter 9. We'd like to look at that. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 21. Daniel here is praying, and he says, "While I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now I realize that's a very difficult passage, and it would take a great deal of time to explain it. I'm not going to do that. But the idea is that Gabriel visited Daniel way back then to explain to him what was going to happen in the future regarding the coming of Christ. And so God is preparing his people for the coming of his son. Long before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the role he would play in God's great drama was predetermined and planned in every detail. Gabriel also, of course, came to announce the birth of John the Baptist, you remember? The forerunner of Jesus. He came and told Zacharias there in the temple when he was going through his ministry. And then he also came and spoke to Mary, the one that God chose to be the mother of our Lord. And so Gabriel had a great deal to do with this whole matter of Jesus coming into the world. He was the messenger that God used for that particular purpose. And of course we find, as we read earlier from Matthew and Luke, going into detail about how Jesus came into the world and all of the events that took place there, and these stories I'm sure that we are so familiar with already. We've heard them every year at Christmas time, and yet it's always a wonderful story to think about, isn't it, when our Lord Jesus came into the world. But I wanted to direct us tonight to what Paul had to say about the Christmas story in Galatians chapter 4. There's a couple verses here. He's talking about the children becoming the heirs and so forth. And then he goes into this about Christ coming into the world. In chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Wonderful verses here that Paul is speaking about. He says, in the fullness of time, that is, at just the right moment in history, at the time when it was most appropriate, Jesus came into the world. And he came to fulfill the scriptures. We've seen the prophecies over in Isaiah and Daniel and other places, and how that he was coming. At this particular time he came, the Roman civilization had brought in peace throughout the whole world. Now, the Roman army, of course, was not kind to people and all of that, but they did establish peace. The Greek was a universal language that most of the civilized world spoke, and the message could go forth. And for centuries, the Jews had waited for their Messiah. They were looking and watching, thinking he may come at any time. You know, just like we as believers today, we think, when is Christ coming back? He promised he would, and we're waiting. This is the way they were, looking for the Messiah and wondering when he would come. And they suffered under the curse of the law. So God sent forth his Son, it says, made of a woman, made under the law. That was the period that he came. And he fulfilled the law of God completely. It tells us that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Right? That wonderful verse that we quote so often. And Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world, made of a woman. Here he speaks of the virgin birth. That miracle that no one can explain because it is a miracle, right? God caused that to happen. It's nothing that we could possibly do to reproduce that. Made of a woman with no earthly father, only God himself, who caused him to be born. And he is truly both God and man. As Paul says in another place, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. Right? And he is the God and man together. Made under the law. Jesus lived in a perfect life and fulfilled the law completely. Although his enemies accused him of breaking the law, they could not find one thing against him. And the Roman governor Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Right? Why did he come? He says in verse 5, he came to redeem them that were under the law. Those who were condemned. The law condemns, right? And we all have broken God's law. And it's only by the grace of God that we can be redeemed. In the third chapter of Galatians, and verse 13, just across the page, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles are redeemed